I want to preach a little bit from the heart this morning. It may not be classic style sermon for me, but just want to, just some things going on, some things on my heart. Just want to preach from my heart this morning. I want to preach on the subject of blessed are they that mourn. Our text is the first 12 verses. We're going to read a little bit more than that, but just to kind of set some of the context. Matthew chapter number 5, the opening of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, these wonderful statements of truth. So Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1, and seeing the multitudes, he, that's Christ, went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So my goal this morning is to preach something of a pastoral type message to you. I really struggled this week coming up with, it's really not what do I preach is in the matter of I have no idea. My problem is there's so many things, it's hard to narrow it down to one idea. And you know, the past few weeks I've been able to take something from the daily Bible reading study we've been doing and you know, some little nugget there. You can probably understand if you've been keeping up why that didn't happen this week, although I love the Day of Atonement. I really do. I would love to preach on the Day of Atonement. But some of those regulations about leprosy and what happens if your ox gores somebody, you can understand why I didn't, nothing came up on that particular passages. Although I have to tell you, there was a part of me that wanted to find one of those and just preach from it, just because everybody wanted, like, where is he going to go with this, you know? I actually, when I was in Bible college, I was reading a commentary and studying Revelation for a class, and there was somebody actually said, it's a passage, I think it's in chapter 5, and they said, do not preach from this. I took that personal, and I actually have a sermon I have preached here from that passage. I'm like, he missed something, because I got something out of that. So, but you know, doing something like that, I would honestly, I'd be showing off, and that's not what this is. I don't want you to leave thinking, you know, my, what a clever preacher. I want you to leave saying the Lord knew I needed this morning. And I want to speak from the common human experience. Job said about life while he was trying to reckon everything that had befallen him. Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Anybody have days full of trouble lately? I would say show of hands, but I think we already know. I was just thinking about some of the interactions I've had the past week or two. I've talked with many of you. I know the hardships, the heartaches that you're going through. I talked a few days ago, a friend of mine, a preacher that God's really using right now in a very special way. You know, he pulled back the curtain a little bit, you know, preacher to preacher, and I saw the physical pain he's going through, the burdens he's been carrying for his staff, his people, his own family. I spoke with someone else that was watching a tragedy unfold, and they asked, how could God let this happen? I really don't have a good idea, a good reason. I just know God's in control. I have twice in the past few weeks prayed at a hospital bedside where I wanted to feel hope and confidence that God would heal, but inside my heart, I was fearful that that may not come. I've spoken with people that are having trouble with their jobs. Listen, I could go on and on. I'm just saying this because it's obvious. Life is not fair sometimes. Somebody said the only time life is fair is a couple weeks in, was in October when the state fair is or something. That's what Craig Shaw used to say all the time. I don't know if the price is there. It ain't fair anymore. Go to that. Sometimes life is full of trouble. Sometimes, even when all may be calm around us, our hearts are filled with trouble. Does that mean that God is displeased with us? Does that mean that we lack some kind of faith? I was actually told about a situation of a person that was deep in mourning and grief, had lost a loved one, and their church told them, well, you just need to have more faith. And it's like, I don't think that's how that works. You know, I can't speak for every situation of life, but I honestly feel that in most cases, neither of that's true, that God's not displeased with us, and our faith is not lacking. Go read Job, okay? Go read Job. Life is just hard sometimes. It stinks sometimes. There's another word I would love to use there, but I actually listened to my first grade teacher when she said there's words you're not supposed to use. You know, you tell your little kids don't use that word, and then when they get older, they start using it, and it's like, well, I always thought, well, I didn't know the rules changed. So I just, you know, there's another word I'd love to use there, but I'm not going to use. But life stinks sometimes. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered into this world, it corrupted it, it infected it, it broke it. And ever since then, it's been a struggle to survive. Ever since that day, it's either tears or sweat dropping down our faces as we make it through this life. Now, it would be easy to give in to hopelessness this morning. It would be easy to give in to despair. I was doing last night a little bit of research putting this together. I'd heard discussed during the week the philosophy of nihilism, N-I-H-I-L-I-S-M. If you're not familiar with this, I heard a right-wing commentator talking about this. He said that this is really influencing our society today. And nihilism says that life has no purpose. Nihilism means nothing. It basically means there's no God, there's no morality, no purpose. There's no good, there's no evil, there's no morality, there's no truth, there's no hope. And I tell you, it is infecting our culture today. People are giving in to hopelessness and despair. And so many folks now are getting online and they try to find a little clique, a little group, and they just kind of bind themselves together and they sink even lower together. Instead of finding hope, they just get dragged down lower. It's a very dangerous thing that we see happening in our society today. Our nation needs a revival of hope. We need a revival of hope. The world is not ending. And when it does, there's going to be a new one. Okay? But the world is not ending. The economy is not collapsing. The government is going to keep going right on. There's too many people making money off of it. It's got to keep going. Okay? Then again, you think the government keep going. Is that a good thing? No, it's good. The hope, and by the way, you turn on the radio, you get on the internet, and listen, I try to keep up with it. I don't try to inundate myself, but I'm going to tell you something. You listen to these guys, you will lose hope. Either side of the aisle, the right wingers are saying the left wingers are saying about the right, and you can be the guy in the middle just trying to do your job and stay out. And you know what? It just feels like there is no hope anywhere. We need this hope. Our nation needs hope that is rooted in truth. That truth today is mocked and shunned by the multitudes and the media. You won't hear about it on the 6 o'clock news. And you know what? This is where the churches come in. This is where the Christians come in. We have truth. We have hope. We have the answer for a world that's given in to despair, a world that doesn't understand why bad things happen, a world that cannot have hope for tomorrow. We know the answer. We know that there is one true God. We know that He loves us. We know that He cares for us. We know that Christ came to save us, died on the cross for us, rose from the dead for us. We know that God has control over all things that happen. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. You know, our very beings are not a mistake. God created us. He knows us. We know that nothing happens without God's approval. We know that He is working all things for His glory and for the ultimate good. That's Romans 8:28. We know that He will transform the broken sinner into a new creature. We know what will really transform a person. It's not a new government program. It's not a check. It's not changing your identity or a haircut or whatever else. Our hope to overcome our problems is Christ. We know that He gives victory where all hope seems lost. We know that He will not refuse any that will come to Him in humility and in faith. We know the truth this morning. Now I'll focus, like I said, just one verse this morning. By the way, I did a series a couple years ago on the Beatitudes. I got the on Wednesday nights. The notes are on my website, but they highlight. I went through and I highlighted how I think in every one of these there is a mindset, an attitude, something that's being modeled for us that we should strive to be a mature, victorious Christian. There are things here to learn. But today we're just looking at one, verse number 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's a glorious promise. Those that mourn will be comforted. Yes, life stinks. Yes, heartaches come. Yes, hopelessness may creep into our hearts. We may mourn, but there is comfort to be found. It is a promise woven into the very fabric of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are not dark and gloomy, and they do not tell us we have no hope. You can't read the Bible but see hope. Let me give you some examples. One of my favorite verses, I quote it quite often, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He draws closer to us when we have a broken heart. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. We have a God who hears our prayers, who knows our need, can pull us out of whatever pit of despair, whatever trap we fall into. He can deliver us from it. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yeah, we just keep on working. Even though their tears may fall, God can give the increase. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. There's blessing to be found. Even God takes you to the woodshed. Even though, like I say, even though heartache, there is blessing to be found, comfort to be found after it. How about Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ says, just come over, just see, give it a test, see how good it is to walk alongside me. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 4 through 7, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. It says, no matter what it takes, the hardships, the smooth, whatever it is, we have that promise, suffering, but there's also consolation to be found. There's also that aspect that we can help somebody with what we've been through. How about Revelation 21, verse number 4, one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. Looking forward to that day, aren't you? Carrie's going to be out of a job. Sorry. He'll just have to go full-time piano player up in heaven, because that funeral home gig's not going to be have a place. There won't be no need for doctors, no need for counselors. There's no need for any kind of grief support. I'm ready for that day. I'm ready for that day. How about Psalm 30? Psalm's never a chapter. A psalm is a psalm. Okay, messed up. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 5. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast helped me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. I'd be dead if it wasn't for God's intervention. Verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Yes, there's times to weep, but there is also going to come a day of comfort and blessing and peace. You know, that's good stuff, is it? Isn't it encouragement to know God's watching out for us? Isn't it good to know that if you sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy? Isn't it good to know if we weep in the night, we can find joy in the morning? Isn't it good to know we can find rest and comfort in the arms of Christ? Isn't it good to know there's going to come a day when all those heartaches are gone and past and but a distant memory? I have just 2 points for you this sermon. First off, we all will mourn. It's a fact of life. We all will mourn. Solomon said it this way, Ecclesiastes 3:4, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. In the cycles of life, there's times of highs, there's times of lows, there's times of mountaintops, there's also those valleys. We will face heartaches. We will face troubles. Now, I'll share with you something. I have been playing around with this in my mind for years, and I've never got it anywhere close to being done, but it's and really just the idea is still there. I can never even get the lines really work, but it's kind of an idea for a poem or a song. And when I was first became a parent, and I'm sitting there holding my little baby, and just thinking, this is one of the little thing in my mind I would go through. And like I say, it's never really come together, but the idea went something kind of like this. If I could take away the heartaches, if I could take away the hurt, if I could take away the pain that, you know, this little child is going to feel, if I could, I would. That was my prayer. If I could take all those heartaches, all the mistakes and things, I wish I could just take it on myself. Protect this child from it. I say, needs a lot of work, but it captures my heart. That's the way I feel. My children, my wife, my family, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my church. I wish I could just bear those burdens for everybody. I wish I could say that life will always be fair and that all will be happiness ahead. I wish I could tear those burdens away. I wish I could carry them myself and save some people some struggles. But I can't. I can't. Goes back to life stinks sometimes. It's not fair. Now, I could lose hope right there, but that's not the end of the story. We all may mourn. We all may struggle. We all may be crushed between the cares of this world. But the verse doesn't end with the people who are mourning. It says, blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. That's my second point. We will be comforted. We will be comforted. The second part to that little poem idea that I've had bouncing my head for a long time. I would say, if I could, I would, but I can't. But I know who can. I know the one that will carry you through all those heartaches. That's the lesson I have to pass on to my children. I can't fix everything for Drew and Allison and Jenna and Billy. Best thing I can do is introduce them to the one who can carry them through and point them in that direction. I know the one that says he will forgive our sins and give us eternal life. I know the one that says he will never forsake us. I know the one that will never, ever fail. I know the one whose love has no limit and whose strength has no bounds. I know the one that notes every tear that we shed. If he knows every hair on our head, he knows every tear too. I know the one that gives grace and strength to take each step we must take. I know the one that promises that he will return and gather us to that land of no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying. This is why the mourner is blessed. This is why the mourner can take comfort. He is blessed because he witnesses firsthand the love and power of God. How many of you have gone through those darkness, those times, and you say, I couldn't have made it through, but there was a hand holding me up. I saw the little comic strip. You've seen the footprints in the sand, the little poem about that, and it said that, you know, there's two sets and there was one set, and the guy asked God, said, well, where were you with that one set? And he said, well, that's where I was carrying you. I saw the comic the other day. It was a drag. He said, it was dragging. What's that right there? He said, well, that's where I was dragging you, kicking and screaming. You realize he's there for us. He's carrying us through. We couldn't make it. Sometimes he may have to drag us along. But he is there with us. We get to see firsthand the power of God. It's not a story. It's not an anecdote. It's not something I've read in a book. Say, oh, hey, look, God was good to that person. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know. That's what most of the Psalms are written like. They're saying, I was there. I was in the pit, but God brought me out. I can testify he is good. I can testify that he blesses, that he comforts those that mourn. He is blessed because God walks alongside him, holding him up. The mourner is blessed because one day, that mourning will come to an end. One day, be no more. One day, we'll forget what tears are. You know, We've had this deal with our kids. You know, technology and things have progressed. One time, I don't know, it was Drew or Billy, but they had a little workbook, and there was a picture of a rotary phone on there. And they said, what's that? I'm like, you don't know what a rotary phone is. Even I know what a rotary phone is. We had to explain to one of them the other day what the pound sign was on the phone. Because they've never had to do all the, you know, punch the numbers on the phone. You know, everything's internet and stuff like that. We had to, anyway, we've had some very curious conversations that my kids, there's things they just don't need to know nowadays. We play Jerry Clower on the radio, so I love listening to Jerry Clower. There's some of the stuff he did, you know, talking about growing up in the Depression. I'm glad I don't have to do. Those days are long gone and past. we've kind of progressed as a society. I'm glad I don't need to know how to kill a hog. I'm glad I don't have to do that this morning. I'm perfectly fine with my meat coming from Walmart. I really am. I don't want to mess with that. All those things are old and past. One of these days, we're going to be in a land where somebody will say, "You remember crying?" I think I do. Well, I sure cried a lot. There's a record of it. Well, yeah, but boy, it's been so long. I don't remember what that feels like. You remember grieving? Well, boy, that's been a long time. Probably about like the last time I wore bell bottoms, you know? It's going to be out of date. It's going to be forgotten. What a day that's going to be when all that stuff is past and gone. You talk about the ultimate comfort is not that we will never mourn, but that one day our mourning will cease. What a comfort, what a blessing that is to us. He shall be comforted. He shall be comforted. As musicians come, just quickly, a couple things. I just want to say, I hope this has been a comfort to you. Like I said, my heart's been very heavy the past couple weeks. We've had a lot of stuff going on in our church family. I'm glad to know that we have a God who knows our heartaches, who helps us. I'm glad, like last week, we talked about that high priest we have that understands what we're going through. He's not unmoved. He understands what the heartaches and the trials of this life. I want to challenge you, though, whatever the heartache, whatever the burden, take them to Christ. Take them to Christ. Never fear that He will turn you away. Never fear. Sometimes you call somebody up and say, "Hey, I need some help." And they're like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I can't do that. Or I don't have that anymore. I'm sorry, I can't help you." God never says that. Never says that. He is always there for us. I do want to say, though, and this is where the hope comes in. These promises I've looked at, these are promises for the believer. These are something, unless you know Christ, you really can't understand this. You need to know Him. But you know that your sins are forgiven. You know that you're a child of God. You taste of that goodness. This makes sense. You know, why? Like I said, the world's out there struggling today. They don't know Christ. They don't know the answer. They don't know the peace that we can have. When the trials get heavy, when the burdens get heavy, when the hopelessness sets in, you know what the answer? The answer is Jesus Christ. I pray that you know Him this morning. I know we got church folks here, but I pray that you know Him, because that's where it all starts, right there. And then it just keeps getting gooder and gooder, as Olin might say. It just keeps getting gooder and gooder from there, and you have the comfort and the care of our wonderful Savior. If you'll stand, we'll have a short time of invitation. What number there, Olin? 300 even there in the Baptist hymnal. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a heavy message for me this morning. I'm thinking, I can see so many faces in my mind. I know so many burdens. I know the heartaches that so many folks are carrying. Lord, I'm so thankful for your love and your care. I've heard Annette say it so many times, I don't know how people make it without God. I don't know how. Lord, I just pray that these words, this reminder, be a comfort, a help, a guide for us, that we can always find comfort. Even though the tears may flow, we have your love, your care, your comfort that we can find. I pray it's a challenge. I pray it's a comfort to us this morning. Drive it home. It's this invitation period. I pray in thy holy name. Amen.